Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks, women's position in Islam. Today we will look at another lie which is sadly taught to our children in our public schools concerning women. Don't forget, we're not talking about college children here. We're talking about the innocent children from the kindergarten to the 12th grade. These are the children who will believe anything you will teach them, truth or a lie. And as always, you hear Muslims, when they are faced with the reality of women's right and position in Islam, they have the excuse of culture. They will try to put everything wrong is taking place in the Muslim world on culture instead of facing the reality. It is the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. It is the problem of Islam. So now let's begin our study with the propaganda and the lie about women in Islam in our textbooks.
In the text World Geography, published by McDougall Little, copyright 2005, on pages 506 through 507, under subtitle Religious Duties Shape Lives, despite its rapid modernization, some aspects of Muslim culture have remained the same for centuries. If you travel to Southwest Asia, one of the first things you would likely notice is that women cover their heads, hair, and sometimes faces with a scarf or veil. This is in keeping with the belief that covering those parts of the body is pleasing to God. Women's roles have gradually expanded during the 20th century. More Arabic women are becoming educated and are able to pursue careers in other nations. Because family is viewed as very important, many women stay at home to manage affairs.
And now let us expose the lies in this passage. This statement begins with saying, despite its rapid modernization, some aspects of Muslim culture have remained the same for centuries. Excuse me, what? Modernization of Muslim culture? What does culture have to do with Islam? Islam is the teaching of Allah in the Quran. If it is the command of Muhammad in the Hadith, you cannot modernize Islam. And I am getting sick and tired of seeing these lies taught to our children. Because now we're telling the children, this have nothing to do with Islam. It's just the culture where Muslim people live. And Islam and culture are two separate things. And what are they talking about here? They're talking about the hijab. It is the dress of Muslim women, as if it is culture. Yes, in the West, the way women dress is part of the culture. And different women dress different because of their preferences. But in Islam, we do not have that. We have Allah's word, the command of the Quran, and we have Muhammad's word, the command of the Hadith, which every woman must live by. And if you don't, you will be punished by the same teaching of the book, the Quran. You see, in Islam, everything about Muslim's life from birth until death is already prescribed. That is including even the clothes which Muslim must wear. There have been cases when women did not cover themselves by hijab. They were punished by throwing muriatic acid on their faces to destroy their beauty and their features. And other men took a more severe action, that is by performing honor killing on their own females. And by the way, honor killing has nothing to do with culture. It is the command of the Quran and the word of Muhammad in the Hadith. So listen to what the book says. If you travel to Southwest Asia, Why in the world he picked up Southwest Asia? Why not if you say if you travel in any Muslim country? If you travel to Egypt, or Libya, or Tunisia, or Algeria, or to Morocco. These are all the northern countries of Africa. Or maybe let's go to South Africa. Or if you travel to Turkey, or if you travel to Iran, or if you travel to Afghanistan, Pakistan, or if you see Muslim in China, Muslim in Indonesia, Muslim in Bangladesh, all over the 57 Muslim countries on planet Earth. Or maybe even soon if you live in Europe or if you live in America. That is the rules of Islam, which are going to be forced on every female, not just even Muslim females. It's going to be forced on the European and the American to have the same lifestyle of dress. Here we go. The textbooks continue by stating, if you travel to Southwest Asia, one of the first thing you would likely notice, it is women cover their heads, hair, and sometimes faces with a scarf or a veil. This is in keeping with the belief that covering those parts of the body is pleasing to God. Here we go one more time. Don't you dare lie to the American children and tell them God, capital G-O-D. You can put Allah here. It is displeasing to Allah, not to God. Because the God of the Bible never forced women to live under a burqa. The God of the Bible made women free. But Allah made women slave. So we don't want to brainwash our children into thinking that we are talking about the same God here. No, we are not. The God of the Bible never said to force women or punish them if they uncover their hair or if they dress like Americans. But the God of Muhammad, small g God, Allah said, you stone them if they dishonor you as a husband or as a father. Now we ask the question. Is the hijab, the burqa dressing for Muslim women, a cultural thing? Or is it the teaching of the Quran? Let's open the Quran. Let's see what Allah said in the Quran. For if there is a clear command of Allah in the Quran for every female to be covered in hijab or in a veil, this means it has nothing to do with culture. From our presentation, Women in Islam, we know that Dr. Ruqayya Abdul Maqsood lied about the same issue by stating the veiling of Muslim women is a more complex issue. Certainly, the Quran requires them to behave and dress modestly, but these strictures apply equally to men. And when I hear this, I couldn't help but to laugh. I never saw a man dress in hijab. As I travel in America and I go to many beaches, I see the woman is in burqa and their husband wearing shorts and shirts. Three, enjoying the beach. But the women are in full burqa. Well, let's continue with Dr. Ruqayya's statement. Only one verse referred to the veiling of women, stating that the prophet's wives should be behind a hijab when his male guests converse with them. I'm sorry, there are more than one verse, my dear friends. And it is not talking about Muhammad's wives, it talks about all women. And it does not talk about only when they meet with male, it's talking about in their whole life. Women in Islam are forced to be under the burqa all their life. They are in imprisonment with the command of Allah in the Quran. How about this verse? Quran chapter 24, verse 31. That is Surah An-Nur, which Muhammad literally is giving the order and the command to all the women to memorize. A good reason why Muhammad wants female to memorize chapter 24. Because it is a chapter of imprisonment to every female. Allah said, Quran 24:31, and say to the believing women to restrain their eyes and to guard their private parts and do not display their ornaments except that which appears from it, and that they throw their veils over their bosom. Now in this verse we see Allah is speaking to all women, not Muhammad's wife. He's talking about believing women, and the command is to be covered with a veil over their heads. No kidding, when you look at Khalifa Umar and his explanation how the covering of the hijab or the burqa for women should be, he stated a one hole in front of their left eyes. Women must be covered from head to toe like a sack of potatoes. This form of dressing is not culture. That is Islam. That is the command of Allah in the Quran. And notice that this code of dress is for all women Muslim believers.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now let me share with you another verse in the Quran which talk about Muslim women dress, the hijab, the burqa. It's Quran chapter 33 and verse 59. When Allah said, O you prophet, say to your wives and to your daughter and the women of the believers. Notice that not only this verse is addressed to Muhammad's family, but to all Muslim believers. Say to them what? Here we go. Let down their covering over them, that in this way they will be known, so they will not be harmed. And Allah was forgiving, merciful. Let down their covering. Put them in burqa. This is Islam. The Quran verses, the command of Allah in Islam is not culture, but this is the religion of Islam. Therefore, we must remove this lie from our textbooks. It's very simple. We need to tell our children the truth, that it is not culture. There is no such a thing as modernization in Islam, because the aspects of women burqa or hijab or veil or covering is not culture. It is Islam, and Islam will never be modernized. It will always be the same. But actually, as Islam infiltrates the world, it will change the culture of every part of planet Earth to fit with the teaching of Allah in the Quran. The day will come when our women in this country, the United States of America, will be forced to wear a burqa. For Muslim will terrorize them or kill them or whatever it takes. We see this already happening in Egypt. Just last week, we have a lady by the name Tahani Al-Jibali. She was a chancellor in a very high position in our government. And Mohamed Morsi, the president of Egypt, and his wonderful team removed this woman from her position. And if you ask why, you will find out that it is because she is a woman and because she is not dressed in a burqa. The law of Egypt today, that is the democracy of the best country in the Muslim world, the law states that no women whatsoever are allowed to hold any position in a political arena. Women have no voice. Why was Tahani Al-Jibali removed from her position? It was because she was speaking out. When you talk, you're out. And what she's talking about? She's talking about women's rights. She's talking about how it is not right for men to take over the country of Egypt and the laws which Mohamed Morsi, the Brotherhood president, and his people are forcing on the females of Egypt. Like Every woman should be covered in hijab. Wait a minute. I thought we're teaching our children in our public schools here in America that hijab is a cultural thing. It is a command of Allah in the Quran, and it is the laws of the land, as in the case of Egypt in the year 2013. All women must be wearing hijab. This is what is written in the Quran. So Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the teaching of the Quran. As we have read in Quran chapter 33 verse 59 and in Quran chapter 24 and verse 31, in the Quran we see Allah commanded Muslim women to wear a burqa. Chancellor Tahani al-Jibali was removed from her position because she is a woman seeking women's rights in Egypt. And because she have a high position in political arena, the new laws of the land does not allow women to rule over men or to have a voice over men's voice. But in the same time, Mohamed Morsi, the man who is sucking billions of dollars out of our tax money, which by the way we do not have, we just borrowed from China or from Saudi Arabia to give to the Egyptian, he knows how to speak from both sides of his mouth. In Egypt, he will tell all the Egyptians, women have no rights. But for American, he will make a law. It's called Ayman law. And then the American will look at him like he is a man who is really bringing democracy. He named Allah after a female in Egypt. And sadly, even the name of this woman is not mentioned. For they named the law Ayman law, which means the mother of Ayman's law. Now let us go back to the rest of the lie of our study for today. They stated women's role have gradually expanded during the 20th century. Really? Why are women in Egypt losing their position in the year 2013? Then the textbook states more Arab women are becoming educated and are able to pursue careers in other nations. Yes, indeed. That's obviously when these nations reject and refuse to live by the rules of Islam. For we have seen in Egypt many high positions have been held by women. But after the Brotherhood took over Egypt, all these positions have been replaced by men. You can imagine women in Egypt will be like those in Saudi Arabia, where they will not be allowed to work outside the home. But listen to the good excuse they give for why women are not taking this opportunity to be the leaders of the Muslim nations. The textbook says, family is viewed as very important. Many women stay at home to manage affairs. Really? So women work hard and they finish their college and they get their master's degree and they get their doctorate degree, and after all this education, they just decided to stay home to take care of their children, cook the meals, and clean the house. That is a good reason why women in the Muslim world are staying home. No, they're staying home, as we mentioned before in a previous program, because Allah in the Quran commands women to stay home. And because Muhammad in the Hadith commanded them to stay at home, it has nothing to do with how important the family is. Because there is plenty of time in a female's life after her children are grown up to work and to do the things which she was educated to do. It's time for us to teach the truth in our textbooks. It's time for us to teach the truth for our children's well-being, for heaven's sake. For how long we will live with this political correctness that we don't want to say the truth to our children about Muslim and Islam to please the Muslim. And now we are allowing the Muslims to lie and brainwash our children to make them Muslims. It is one thing not to offend the Muslims and hurt their feelings. But on the other hand, you're leading your children to accept Islam by teaching them all these lies about Islam. To please the Muslims who hate our guts, those who don't want to have our freedom, those who hate our democracy. Now I would like to share with you what is written in Citizens for National Security regarding the role of women. A brief summary of the treatment of women in Muslim countries makes it clear that the notion of equality of the sexes in the Western tradition of human liberty does not exist in the Muslim world. According to the Quran, a woman's testimony is worth half of a man's. Also, men have authority over women, and women may be beaten by their husbands. According to Muslim scholars' interpretation, the beating can be as long as a Muslim man does not break her bones or shed her blood. Women are subject to genital mutilation. They can be divorced by their husband instantly. Simply when the husband says, "You're divorced," they inherit half of what men inherit. They may be forced to marry against their will. They cannot be employed in the private sector. Women are stoned to death under Sharia, Islamic law, in the case of committing adultery. Yes, there are some women have great knowledge and power, but that is not because they are living by the rules of the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith, but simply because they disobeyed the command of Allah and the command of Muhammad. Therefore, we cannot give Islam credit for the success of women in the Muslim world. Women have no rights under Sharia, Islamic law, compared to those of men. Also, fathers or husbands may kill their wives or their daughters by honor killing. In many Muslim countries, unequal and even cruel, barbaric treatment of women is the norm. These are the facts which we should teach our children in our school textbooks, not the propaganda and the lies of Muslims. In the next broadcast, we will look at how the public school textbooks describe Islamic teaching and doctrine in comparison to the biblical teachings. To learn more about lies in the textbooks, please join us again for our next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.